Well, let's turn to chapter 20, and we're finishing this up in Revelations, the 20th chapter. We asked in closing last week some questions on verse 12. Let's read this once again. Revelations 20 from verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. We'll stop right here, though we're finishing up this entire chapter tonight. We see here, as we went into this last week, we see here two separate books. We see one singular, a book. Then we see a set of books, meaning more. This is plural. There are more books. Doesn't say how many, but probably a great deal. These two books mentioned, the one that is called the Book of Life, it says, and then the other books which don't have a name. We talked it over last week, and you gave me all of the answers you felt pertinent to this question of what's the difference in these two books, in the singular one, the Book of Life, and in the books, what are these other books for? I think we came up with most of the answers, but I ask you to study, and if you have any scriptures or anything else to add to this tonight, let's see if you have anything more to add to what we talked about last Wednesday night on these books. Anyone study more into this and have more answers on it? Remember, we went through this twice on the way this is written. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, of the Lamb that was slain. Remembering this, that as we have studied so many other scriptures and pointing to this, and again, the same one you read over here in 17:8 is one of these whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. We have several other scriptures. We find when you put these together that that book was written before we were ever created, from the foundations of the world, not from the birth or the creation of Adam and Eve or the first man and woman. We also have to know that he says that those that are born again or predestinated in their walk with him, they're called and they're predestinated. From the time you come to God and you become his, you're predestinated for a certain place, doing certain things. He has your life all planned out. We also know that other scriptures say that he knew us before the foundation of the world. What we're seeing here is almost the same thing we're reading and studying here in Revelation that John is seeing. He's seeing it happen, but it hasn't happened yet. And yet he saw it just like it was, and he wrote it like it was because he was shown the end since. God sees the end from the beginning, and he knew all along. It says he knew those that would serve him. There's no backing for feeling like this scripture in the 13th chapter in verse 8. It was those that were written. Their names aren't even written yet. Sometimes when we do this, really get into studying it, and I'm sure that you did, we overstudy it without other scriptures to point to us, and we begin to use our thoughts and our mind on it. Most of you were right last week after we got off the subject of who is this that's going to be saved, and we brought out these two books. Most of you were right on what this is saying. It's very clear. Does anyone else have anything else? What does that mean to you? What is it saying? What about the names that are blotted out? Those are the ones, what? We have to make that choice first, but there has to be names in there that are not going to make the right choice. So whose are these? You think it's just the ones that don't overcome this life. There's so many different stages of that, isn't there? You go back and all the way to the end. Remember, this is the book of life, not just our lifetime. Only the ones that know Christ and know God to a certain extent, but they don't obey it. Anyone else? It's true. Now, this first one was, to me, was a very simple, and I didn't realize there was a controversy over this. The book of life is just what it says. when he gives life, where that second is or not, is not something we're going to bring up. But when someone is born, their name is written in that book of life, period. Everyone that's ever been born has been written in the book of life. That baby can take one breath and be alive. It's got the breath of life within him, the child. So that name is written down. It's been born. The breath of life as he breathed into Adam and Eve. Everyone has been written in this book of life before the foundations of the world. And of course, he knew those that were his because he looks on down and he sees, realizing he again is not human. He sees all that will ever take place. And yes, the baby and the child, contrary to many other false teachings, you must baptize a baby or he goes to hell or purgatory or wherever. There's no scripture. The scripture says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. A baby has no way of believing one way or another. They simply are gods until they come to that age of accountability for their own sins. They are gods. The age limit is different in each individual, as we know, as God's Spirit deals with them. So there's no certain age except as God deals with each child. Every child ever born belongs to God to begin with. He gives them that breath of life. This book of life is very easy to understand. We have another scripture in Daniel 12. We see again in verse 1, that at that time, this is the end times, past our time now, Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of life, that be found there. The names hadn't been blotted out. Now we have the very word to blot out. It means it has been there at one time, but it has been removed for a number of reasons. It has been blotted out. The scriptures in Revelations 13:8 and 17:8. Also, we have in Revelation 21 and verse 27, there shall in no wise enter into it, that new Jerusalem, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, except for those which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We have a lot of scriptures, chapter 22 and verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. The book of life, it is very simply just that. It's the one book, and it is a book that everyone's name that has ever been born is written into. It doesn't mean that your name is still there, or all those names are still there. There are many places we find that they are blotted out for whatever cause. The question that I want to ask you is, do you have any thoughts on the books? They're judged from these books. Most of you brought out that these were their works, their actions, all the things that they did, showing them it was written before them. This is what they're judged from, their lifetime. It's all written down there for them to see. Do any of you have something else to add to this, to what these books are, how they're judged? We have so many, many, many different dispensations and classes of people that we have to keep this in mind for us. We live in the dispensation of grace. We live where everyone almost has heard at one time or another about Jesus Christ or can. Definitely, we're going to be judged by this Word of God. Always have been and always will. Whether it was from the time of innocence, they disobeyed the Word of God, Adam and Eve in the garden, on through the other times at Noah's day, the time of the commandments and so forth, all the way down to and through the tribulation saints, and then right on into the 1,000 years, not the judgment period, but the 1,000 years. The Word of God, what does John 1:1 say about the Word or this book, the Bible? The Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's not just a book. God's not a book. This is part of His Word. Therefore, it is God giving us the written Word, or Himself showing Himself. We can't go by this because God is the judge. We know that the spirit that overshadowed Mary when Jesus Christ was born, that by this, it's the Holy Spirit that overshadowed her. The Holy Spirit being just that, the portion of God's Spirit, Holy Spirit that deals with mankind. God is everywhere at all times, all-knowing. You can't contain God. Remember, He's almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He is everywhere at all times, all-knowing. It's very hard for our little old minds to grasp this. We get a touch of it, and then we start looking into something, and we try to bring it down into something that contains, but He can't be contained. He's not just one as we are. He's one God, but God is a spirit, the scriptures say. No man has ever seen God. All that we'll ever see is through the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born with the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit overshadowing Him, but He had a natural mother. Realizing this, this Spirit was brought to life. The Word was actually brought to life through this man, Jesus Christ. Going back to these books, there's a number of scriptures that tell us a lot about these books. Nothing escapes Him. He definitely must have a lot of angels busy writing in these books. Let's go back to the 20th chapter. We see the books were opened. All the books were opened, their lives. And the other book was open, which is the book of life. But the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. We're just looking at verse 12 because we're dealing with just the books. Say, on this side here are the books. And the dead, all of those that have not up to that point received immortal bodies. These are those that are dead. They are judged out of these books. Except He's got another book, this book of life. What is it doing here at this time, if they're all going to be judged for their works, the dead? What is this book of life doing here? It's open too. Let's read the other two verses. It says, the sea gave up its dead, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Same thing as verse 12. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death and hell. 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, we've got two classes of people right here. Two separate ones. Totally two separate ones. We've got some that are being judged in verse 12 and 13 according to their works from the books. And then we've got some that aren't going to be cast into that lake of fire, that are judged only from that book of life. Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This isn't repeating verse 12 and 13 because they're being judged by separate book. Have you noticed this? In verse 12 and verse 13, they're being judged, the dead, by their works, or this word in every rendering does not mean, you know, natural works. This is their action, their conduct, their life, everything they did, their works, their actions. So they're being judged by these in verse 12 and 13. This is the group of people being judged. The reason He has all those books open. There's another book over here, though, the book of life. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They weren't judged out of the book of works or by their actions. What's the difference? Anyone think about this? What is the difference? Why is it we find some are judged out of their actions and their deeds, and we find others that were judged if their name was not written in that book of life, the other one singular book? The thing is, there will be a lot of them that, according to their actions and deeds, also that their name's blotted out. Their name was written too. So what's the difference of those that they're judged from the books, from their actions, and their name has been written in that book of life, but it's been blotted out also? here in verse 15, he's not judging them by the works in these other books. He's only judging them if their name's not written there. What is this difference? Yes, all of them had their names blotted out that are cast into the lake of fire, but they're judged in a different way. See, this is the great white throne judgment. You've got a set of books here of their works, their actions, their deeds. And then you've got the book of life where everyone's name has been written in it. Many have been blotted out. This is only the dead, those that overcame and those that had no spot and blemish have nothing to do with these. They've already been judged. They were judged when they were raptured and caught up to be with him. Or they were judged when they shed their life, they shed their own blood and died as a martyr in the tribulation, didn't take the mark of the beast. All of those, their names were written in the book of life. Those were already judged. We see another group here in verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But evidently, all of them were not cast into the lake of fire. Couldn't be these at all. Those are judged at the end, remember, as we just read up here. They are judged then. They're living. They're never dead. They're finished with. Those are the ones in verse 15 that it's not according to their works. These are just the ones that are judged because they lived according to all that they knew to live. They will not be cast into the lake of fire. Let's get back to this, unless anyone have anything really specific to add to these books, you think. Let's see something here very clearly. We've got the book of life. Any question on the book of life? The book of life has had many names blotted out, probably starting with Cain. It is narrowed down, although they were in there, it's just they've been blotted out. Any other questions on the book of life before we get into the books? I want you to understand the book of life thoroughly. That one is simple. There's a lot of scriptures on that. Okay, these books. In the books written, we find the record of the lives of all who have lived on this earth. At this time is the judgment, the white throne judgment. It's the final judgment, as we studied last week. The absolute final judgment according to the works, it says here, or their actions. Works, the word works in the original is actions or conduct, deeds, all of the works of your life, what your life is. So they are judged according to this. Do you remember the message that was preached in the early part? Those of you that have studied this up here with me all the way up through this time. In Revelation, during the tribulation period, after the rapture of the church, during the 3.5 years tribulation, when the scriptures say that those out of every nation, kindred, tongue will be saved out of the tribulation period. Now you remember the message that is preached during those 3.5 years by the messengers going to and fro in the air. You remember that message? It was a slightly different message, still Jesus Christ, but it was a warning that in spite of all the miracles that Satan was performing as Antichrist here and as Satan, that God was giving them another chance. Here's this supernatural right with it, the message being preached from the air of fear God and not this one here that can kill your body. In keeping this part in mind, we find that this was only to the ones that were still alive here, wasn't it? That message during that 3.5 years tribulation. What about those that had already died? God's a respecter of persons. They didn't have that kind of a chance at the supernatural power of God and not to take the mark of the beast and be saved. What if somebody dies during right now and they're not going to be able to hear it? That's on ahead after the rapture and the first 3.5 years afterwards. What happens to those? God's no respecter of persons, is he? What about those that die before they hear that? They're dead, but yet they have not believed upon Jesus Christ. So what about them? We find that the preaching of the horsemen was only to those that are alive. So they have the choice to make so that thousands upon thousands, it says great numbers, are saved during the tribulation period. Of course, they are martyred, they are tortured, and they are killed. He's perfect in his judgment. So what's he going to do now with all of those signs and wonders and supernatural actions that make those tribulation saints be able to be saved?
What about all those others that are already dead? What about those? Is he going to be unjust? Well, they just happened to not live in the right time, so they're going to the lake of fire because they didn't serve God or they weren't baptized. They didn't know Jesus Christ in these past 2,000 years. It does. It applies to that because people can see that there is a God. What if they do believe there is a God? The Cherokee Indians, they believed there was one God. They sure didn't serve him the way we know him today, and they didn't have the Bible, and many of them died. But yes, they knew there was a God. So how would they be judged? By their actions. God is a just God, so that's the reason he needs all of these books. All of the dead are being judged here. We've had already seen all these other judgments finished, come and go, and they're finished. There's still some unfinished business of this just God, isn't there? You're forgetting the new earth. So many people just never study, never think, never realize we catch ourselves going to heaven or hell. We forget this new earth here, or newly cleansed, perfect earth that took him 1,000 years to cleanse. We forget that. It's going to be full of people. They do not make it into heaven. They are not in that new Jerusalem when they are judged. So here we see a judgment according to works, verse 12 and 13, or actions of all the dead. There's a couple of scriptures here that shows a point. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, and reading from verse 33, this is during the dispensation all should know Jesus Christ. This was only the few that lived in his known world that knew him. I don't think they ever made it to America up until almost, 1600, 1700 years after this. From verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, now why did he add this? I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We are seeing something else here. He is speaking. Yes, he's speaking right here. These are just Jews at this time. But that isn't all that this book is written for. Remember the words of God. God is the Word. He's written this for our dispensation. And just like we don't know how many thousands of years, maybe billions of years, that there is between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. There were other beings on this earth. It was ruled by Lucifer while he was still the archangel, but there is no missing link. There was prehistoric animals. This earth is not just 6,000 years old. It's billions of years old, but not for our creation. When God created the earth, he didn't create it void and without form. He created the earth. It has nothing to do with us because mankind, as we are today, wasn't created until the 6,000 years. The Bible is exact right about us. It doesn't contradict what science has found in this whole earth. The only thing it does contradict is their theories. Their theories are really far out. It doesn't contradict what it has found. The length of time between verse 1 and verse 2, when he recreated the earth after Satan had fallen, committed sin, and he turned this whole earth upside down, and he told Adam and Eve, go and repopulate the earth, didn't he? Why would he say this to the first beings ever to be on this earth? Re means stood again. They were the first man and woman, mankind, that was created after God's own image. Not the body, but God's own image, with that ability that he gives only to mankind. This is much the same here in Revelation. We aren't told every little tiny detail, but we're given enough scripture for us to begin to understand that verse 36, every idle word, you know, if a man is good, he's going to show whether he's good or not. If he's bad, he's bad. Now, in our dispensation, it's no good. You will never make the rapture, and you'll never be in the bride without that being born of water and of spirit for us that have had that chance. But there are those that have never, ever, ever had that chance. There are those that have died and never had that chance. So back to that. Well, doesn't Romans 1 say you are accountable? Yes, you are accountable, but how are you going to live? You're judged by your actions, your words, your deeds. At the very end, those that are all dead, there's no more judgments. This is the final judgment. This is where people that say, well, you say you've got to have the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name, live that righteous life. What about those in Africa and India and all over here that never heard it? What about great-grandma so-and-so that already died and she didn't know about this, but she was a good person? I'm not the judge of how much they knew and how much they followed. Thankfully, I don't have to be, but neither are you. We find a place here that separates them. God judges because he sees even the intents of the heart. He judges them here by all the things about their life that are written in those books. Any question about this? See, this is all the dead, those that have not, by whatever time, dispensation, or way, they have not received immortal bodies yet. But there's a lot of people that live that are dead, still dead here. Many will be raised up at the rapture, and those that are alive will be tribulation, many of them. But there's still a lot that are dead. We still see a just God. They'd have to be disobedient then. Disobedience shows their actions. If they had the truth and their actions did not follow it, then they are disobedient to God. Disobedience is a sin. So if they had this and they didn't follow it to their fullest, not necessarily having what we have today, the Dark Ages, they didn't know this. Now, there was always a people that did, according to all that they did know during those times. Here is a judgment for them. I can't tell you which ones are going to be saved and which not. There's only one little verse to cover all of this. And yet there's a lot of scriptures that point to it, this just, pure God. What others do we find here? They're judged by their actions. The scriptures say this in Revelation, says, all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. That covers a lot of people, doesn't it? We find that the books and the only basis for judgment for those who died and never heard of Jesus Christ, never heard the truth for their dispensation, who had no opportunity of being saved by their time, their action, they were people that lived according to the best that they knew how. The good people that right now means nothing to God because he offers so much more to make you perfect. But those that are dead, we see by their actions. Any other questions on this? It follows all times because it took place from Adam and Eve all the way until this is the final time. It's those that are dead. You have to realize that there is no way we can pick out who is, who isn't. There's no way at all. Only a just God by every action and thought, their deeds, out of the abundance of their heart. Only a just God could do that. This is for the dead, the dead. Now keep in mind, this isn't immortal. This isn't those that did not receive an immortal body. This is not those that were judged out of the book of life. Their name was marked out of it. This is those that were judged according to the books, according to their works, that never had the chance, but yet they lived the best life that they knew how, believing in one God. Again, they know there is a creator, Romans, the first chapter says, by the very things God put in this world. So an atheist would not have a chance because God puts in the depths of mankind's heart. You know there's a God, and you have to deliberately turn your back on him in whatever dispensation or time you lived in. Any other question on this, the books? I don't think there's but one lake of fire and brimstone. Actually, contrary to all the pictures you see, the devil's not going to be ruling over people down there. He's going to be hurting as bad as they are. He's just part of it. From all the scriptures I can see, he says, the lake of fire, brimstone. I don't find there being more than one. There's no place that it pluralizes it. Hell enlarges itself. It just gets bigger. Any questions anymore on this Books of Life? Quite a study, isn't it? It certainly makes you stop and think. It's not for you, not for any of you sitting here. You would have your name blotted out. You would be cast. You'd be in verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's not a one of you sitting here that's going to make it through this. You know too much. I wouldn't say there's an American living right now that would be in this. So the book of life also shows us this other group or class of people. Those who rejected the truth anywhere along the line. The first step, second step, God will lead them as far as they will go. If you're part of it, he gives them more. Anyone that's ever rejected the more of God will have their name blotted out of this book of life. It does contain all names of those born into the world, but some names have been already crossed out. But there are some, because he said, of those that are dead, whosoever was not at that time. This is the end times. It's not our judgments, our dispensation, our rapture. It's not the tribulation saints. Those dead at that time that was not found written in that book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there are those somewhere along the line that they lived the best that they could according to their time and what they knew and what they had heard. They do not inherit heaven. They do not inherit the new Jerusalem, the capital of the universe, but they will inherit the new earth along with many others. So any questions as we close out chapter 22? You think about this with all the scriptures you've been taught, and you'll understand the just God. We have, for the tribulation saints, we have great numbers, it says, out of every tongue, kindred, nation that are saved, out of 3.5 years tribulation. It brings out the large number that are saved from that. But of the dead, of those that never heard, you have a lot, and still you can judge why out of two people that never, ever, ever heard, one would be wicked and do all things that even according to what you know in life, you know better. You know it's not the right thing to do. You have others that would do all they knew that would be good. Now, this is, again, those that do not know or have not heard. So God is a very just God. The more I study, the more I realize how just. But it doesn't change what I have to be for my time. They are too. It's just bringing out everywhere. The sea is water and the grave is the ground. So it just brings out all dead were brought before him, all of them. Hell delivered up the dead which were in them, because all of those that are going to be cast into the lake of fire, they are in the hell right now. So they've already been judged that way. Any other questions on this chapter so we can get into a chapter I like much better? That's not the world. This is the dead. Remember, we went through that. This tells us that, as we studied before, back here in 20, that anyone else in the heavens or the earth is not here at this judgment. We do not judge these dead at all. We judge the earth and we judge the angels. We do not judge at this great white throne judgment. Only God does, fortunately. I want to read at least the first verse, getting on into this. We're starting another area. If you remember, the time period in chapters 19 and 20 were the period from the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus comes back with his bride, his army, until the end of the 1,000 years of reign. Now we're going into chapter 21 and 22, which is from the end of the 1,000 years reign to forever. It's eternity. This is what we're going into, the very last room set up in this chart. It's called Room 7, chapter 21 and 22, is dealing from the end of the 1,000 years and the judgment to forever. I don't know how else to put it. It doesn't finish. There's no end to it. It's eternity. This is what we're seeing here. This is chapter 21, and it'll be chapter 22. They're dealing with the same thing. This period of time that John is beginning to see. Remember that this is prophecy. We aren't there yet. We're still back before the rapture. It's the next event to take place, the bride caught out that will rule and reign with him, and then going into the 3.5 years tribulation right after that, when many are martyred and terrible things of tribulation, the greatest tribulation the world has ever even thought about, and many will be killed. Satan will be here in Antichrist, actually personally fighting this battle down here against people. They will be given their lives not to take that mark of the beast. And then it goes into 7 years of judgment period, which that ends at the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon, it goes into Jesus comes back actually upon this earth with his army, his bride, those in white, and sets up his kingdom here. And by his word, he destroys all those at the Battle of Armageddon. Satan is chained, not destroyed, but chained for 1,000 years. Goes into that 1,000 years of reign to cleanse and redo this old earth and set it like God wanted to begin with. Now we are at the end of that in prophecy. This is what time that all the bride, the ones that live in this dispensation especially, have been waiting for. And I'm sure that all of those dead in the Old Testament that served God also because of the new earth. This hasn't taken place yet. This is all prophecy ahead of time, the very end of time. Well, no, time's already gone here, so I can't even say that. This is eternity. Verse 1, chapter 21 and verse 1. John still seeing as the bride, as though he were there because he will be as part of the raptured church. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Here is a new heaven, a new earth. They are not the results of some unrecorded catastrophe that happened between chapter 20 and 21. I mean, the earth was still here, and we've just finished here in verse 15 of chapter 20. There is no great event taking place here. Anything new. It's the result of all of this time of redemption. It's the finished product of redemption in the 1,000 years that Jesus has reigned, finished cleansing this old world. The new heaven and new earth, as he is speaking of here, are the results of the redemption and the reign. The very word reign is to rule with a rod of iron, he says. Well, this old world after 1,000 years and his finish up with Satan is what he intended for it to be. And John is looking at this. It's the results of this redemption and the reign of Jesus Christ for the 1,000 years. It would be so unthinkable, no scripture, absolutely unscriptural, that all of the redemption work of Jesus Christ from his blood right on through this 1,000 years and of the saints that helped him during the 1,000 years. That reign, it's totally unscriptural and totally unthinkable that that reign will be such a failure that total destruction, poof, the earth and the heavens are gone here between chapter 20 and 21. Doesn't make sense, does it? There's no scripture that backs it up whatsoever. So what's he saying? John says, and when this is all over, I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What is John seeing, and what is he saying here? Here we can see this is very clearly a retrospect on the part of John. The scripture says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Old things are passed away. Here it's saying the same thing. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Old things passed away. What are all the old things that will be passed away by this time according to the scriptures on this earth? The earth itself is still here. There's never an end to it. All the scriptures we've studied up to this time, there's never an end. It's changed. It's become like new again. All things become as new, the scripture says. So, all right, what are the things that are passed away now as we go into eternity? All of the things that could not be redeemed. You could say all of sin, death, pain, sorrow, everything that was not redeemed is passed away. It's finished. There is no more of all of these. As the scriptures say, behold, all things become as new. Let me give you, as we close this tonight, use your imagination, your fantasy ability in your mind with this final cleansing of the earth and the judgment at the great white throne. Redemption is complete. It's finished. We've had 1,000 years reigning with Christ. He's ruled, as it said, with a rod of iron. He has taught people how it's to be. Satan's loose for a little while. Many are destroyed with that or dead. They've been raised. The judgment's finished. Jesus and his saints have been working at the task of restoring all of the things on this earth for 1,000 years. Now think of this. This verse 1 completes the story of redemption that began in the Garden of Eden. Now stop and think of the perfection it was to begin with. When God creates something, He created perfect. This world, everything God created, is so beautiful, even today with all of the corruption and filth that mankind and sin has put in it. Still, you can stop and look at one beautiful flower, the new buds on the trees, the millions of the birds that are so different, the animals. Just you stop and think of all the things God created. How perfect and how beautiful. Perfect. Not a mar on it. The sweet water, the pure air. You talk about cleanup day. God's going to have a good one. And this old earth is going to be left just like or redeemed back like it was when He gave it to Adam and Eve. He said, here it is for you. Everything. Verse 1 is completing the story of the redemption that began in this Garden of Eden. We know that every effort of mankind to restore or to control all these things on this earth has failed. Every civilization and government actually has had its own germ of destruction within itself, the sin that so easily besets mankind. And it was only Jesus Christ that could straighten all this mess out. Let's imagine a little more, if you can. We look at it today. I don't see how it can get worse, do you? But it does. Especially so, it's going to build faster and faster. All of the things He says, the hate, the greed, the unnaturalness of it, the sin, the envies, the wars, all of these things are going to get worse and worse until the rapture of the church, and then they're really going to get worse. Goes into the tribulation. If we think it's bad now, think of this that's coming so quickly, that rapture and the tribulation and judgment. Think of what this earth is going to look like after the 7 last plagues that we studied. Think of that, if you think it's bad right now. Then bring the Battle of Armageddon into it, when it says, how many months does it take for them to clean up that mess? The debt, the corruption. Now think of that, what that earth is going to look like when that tribulation and judgment is finished with. Think of what it was like. Okay, put that over here. Then imagine the changes that began to take place under the world rule of Jesus Christ. 1,000 years. How old is America? A little over 200 years? Look at the mess we've made of it in 200 years. He has 1,000 years to make it beautiful and perfect again. The whole world. One world ruled by Jesus Christ. Jesus that is so just, perfect, so pure and holy, and all-powerful. Remember, He comes back as that Lion of the tribe of Judah, no more the Lamb. He's able to reinforce. With Him for the 1,000 years, the reconstruction of this old world under the personal supervision of Jesus Christ. You know what I thought of as I was studying this and trying to compare these two, of what my life was like before Jesus Christ and what He can take and do with it through the power of that Holy Ghost, that name of Jesus Christ, the truth of this Bible and your walk in holiness. You know the difference? You can't even imagine. You look back at what person you were and what He can make you. Of course, now we have to allow, we have to use that. This is what it's going to be like. If you can imagine that in your own life, now with the Holy Ghost, what a change in you. You compare the you with all of this life in Jesus Christ and the you before Jesus Christ. What a difference. What a difference. So if you can imagine these two scenes, after the seven last plagues in this world, after the Battle of Armageddon, what the world looked like then. Then imagine what it looks like when Jesus Christ finishes with it. 1,000 years to work on it. Then you would see what John saw, why he said he's been through all this in prophecy. He was taken ahead from that Isle of Patmos. He saw it all, didn't he? He saw the worst that it could possibly be, and now he's seeing the finished product. So, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It's not a different one. It's as the other scripture read, all things that were old became as new. You can see that first earth has passed away. It'll never come back again. Sin will never come again on this earth. Corruption, destruction, hate, envy, the terrible ways that mankind treats each other, never be here again. It's gone. So I think with this we'll close tonight. Don't think that you can be judged with the dead. Don't let me leave you that hope. You don't have that hope. You're going to have baptism in Jesus' name to wash away those sins. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. No more seed. We'll study that next week, seeing what he's saying here. You can study into it with me. God bless you.